Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am really grateful for air conditioning that is working.
Amen.
You know, I grew up without it.
Really?
Oh, well, yeah, and so I did in an upstairs bedroom.
Oh.
It was really hot.
Heat rises. Heat rises. Yeah. That is, I'm not a science
guy, but
I was
not on
that.
The upstairs bedroom. I had it a little bit better than you, Marty.
Did you live in a cave?
No, I did not live in a cave.
That would have been cool. That would have been nice. You wouldn't need air conditioning.
But our basement was cool.
There you go.
And we did have a basement, and we spent a lot of time down there in the hot.
Toward the end of the time of living with the family household, there was a window air conditioner in one of the rooms downstairs. But we were upstairs, and let me tell you, it got hot. But you know what? Everybody was. It wasn't as if we were any different from the rest of the world.
Yes, that was true in my case, too, is it was just starting to get to be where people start having air conditioning. So, yeah, in fact, it was a very big deal when they built our middle school and it had air conditioning.
And they wanted to spend the night.
Oh, man, no doubt. No doubt.
Well, everybody, please.
I feel very, very concerned about all those folks who might live in mobile homes without air conditioning, because I did that one too when I was first married in a little 8-wide mobile home with no air conditioning. Now, let me tell you, that's miserable. So let's hope that everybody finds a cool place to be and they stay safe.
Marty, I don't know, maybe people don't realize it, but you know, window air conditioners are very inexpensive these days. You can pick up one for $100.
A lot of these folks, let's hope that happens for them. In the meantime, we have to live through it somehow.
That's
and
right.
Also, all those people working outside, we, of course, our highway department continues to work outside. And speaking of our highway department, Lisa Ridge of our highway department will be presenting to the county commissioners today an agreement that will be a contract between Monroe County Board of Commissioners and NDOT, the Department of Transportation, for a project which I heard you being concerned about, 037 North a while ago, and Sample Road, et cetera. The project is for the reconstruction of Sample Road East.
Oh, my.
So all of those things, of course, it's all a part of the I-69 making things work for us here locally, and we just have to live through it while everyone is fixing it. The project limits are from Old State Road 37 North and State Road 37 I-69, and it's a federally funded project, but we have to provide 20% of the construction cost.
So that's different from what we're reading on the front page of the paper today.
Yes,
okay. This is in addition to.
The total amount on this one is $5,211,000, and our local match will be $1,042,000. Now, remember that these local matches that we're talking about, most of those are coming from our money coming back that we send to the state with our gas tax, et cetera. And so parts of those dollars are using for some of those matches with the Motor Vehicle Highway Fund and some of the other projects I heard you talk about earlier. But in addition to which, some of these larger matches, we could go to different pots of money. For instance, when we receive dollars back from that special distribution of income tax, and they said, okay, you have to put so much of it into a rainy day fund tied to some of these projects,
which
we did. And we put a great deal of that in there, and so kudos to our highway department that they're making sure that every dollar we spend, as best we can, we're matching it up with other funds coming in so that we're not paying the 100% of the total
cost. Yeah, get the most bang for your buck. That's right.
Right. So we're not paying for all the repaving projects or the new road projects. In the meantime, I understand. It's difficult to live in an area where all the roads, it seems, at one time are getting torn up or redone and so forth. But at the end of the day, we'll be glad that all of this happened. And I'm really grateful that we have a whole crew with the highway department who are there working together to make sure that at the end of the day, we are well represented when it comes to trying to get as much of those matching dollars coming back to us as we can. So, because we couldn't possibly afford to do all
on your own
things.
Yeah, no. You couldn't do that, so that's good. No. So
now, the other thing that they'll be discussing this morning at the County Commissioners meeting, remember they're now on Wednesdays, is they're going to be going over an agreement with the special committee that was put together for the convention center. And you know, I discussed this just a bit with you last week, saying that that's what I thought would be happening, and indeed they are.
So they're doing another study?
I beg your pardon?
Are they doing another study?
No, the study, the study at this point, they had taken the committee, had taken it to the commissioners and recommended the group that they wanted to work with. And so the commissioners are giving them the permission to move forward, working with them and coming up with ideas of how it should proceed to bring it back. Remember, it will all be decided at the end of the day by the county commissioners as well as the county council if they come to us and ask us for approval of food and beverage tax, which I have been told that that is on the table. Now, there's many of us who are saying if they want additional dollars, there are many of us who are saying do it with that visitor's tax, with the hotel motel tax. And so it will be determined whether or not they will decide to do that.
Because we haven't had enough new taxes lately, Marty. We need another one.
The visitor's tax would not be a local tax. Now, if they are determined to move forward with this, and if it looks as if it, in doing this that the financials work, then let us hope that that the new tax would be on that tourism tax, that innkeeper's tax, and not on local taxes, because so far that's how that convention center, which really belongs to Monroe County, I had a call the other day from someone who was convinced otherwise, but that building belongs to Monroe County government because it was all paid for with that innkeeper's tax.
It was.
Which was put in place
yes.
many years ago in the early 90s. And so it would be my hope that if they wish to proceed with this, they could see their way clear to just increasing the innkeeper's tax, which if you'll look at the convention centers in other areas of the state of Indiana, that innkeeper's tax has been increased. If we want to tax the visitors, that's one thing. If we want to tax locals, that's something else.
Well, let's hurry up because the Ohio State fans are going to be in town at the end of August. Somebody said yesterday on the Twitterverse, a room was bought locally for $650.
Ouch!
But when people want to come here for you know whatever the occasion, an increase in the innkeeper's tax is not going to keep them away.
No, it's not. It's a price of poker. It's just like when you go to Chicago and you have to pay $55, $60 a day to park. You either don't bring your car or you pay it. There's no way around it.
Right.
And so I hope that people who really want this convention center, and among them I will count many of my friends, I will just say please look to that innkeeper's tax. Now, in order to do that, they'll have to take it back to the state to get it approved to raise it.
How difficult is that?
I beg your pardon?
How difficult is taking it back to the state to
there are some who don't want to take the time for it, perhaps, or maybe they don't. Maybe they think the state would deny it. I really believe that if those of us to want to make sure that it would be the innkeeper's tax and not local taxes, that we would push for that. Now, maybe that some people will say, I don't want the convention center at all, so I'll push not to have anything. So it's all in the cards. Whatever they determine is the best way to go, but I would sure encourage that.
So
and at this point, with what we know so far, I would support it at the state level to raise the innkeeper's tax.
Who wouldn't support raising the innkeeper's tax, Marty? It sounds like Yeah, it sounds like
people who do not want to see the convention center grow.
So just people in general, even though, let's say you lived here, you don't use the hotels, what does it bother you? Why would you be against that? Because they just don't want to see the convention center and the area expand? Is that the angle?
Well, one would think. Or many of them really believe that it really is Monroe County taxpayers paying for these things. As the caller I received the other day, I mean, she was absolutely convinced, wanted to argue with me. Exactly. She knew what was going on. She did her homework. And it was really, didn't belong to us, but we were paying for all the bills.
That would be probably more accurate if it was the food and beverage tax that was going to pay for this as opposed to the innkeeper's tax. Do you think people are confused on the taxing units?
Absolutely. And you know what? She swore I supported the food and beverage tax for this, and you know how many times have I talked with you folks about it.
We have it at WGCL Radio if you want to go back and listen.
Right. I never supported it. Let me just say, if ever the time comes that you will see me supporting a food and beverage tax, it will be for something that the county absolutely must provide, absolutely has to have in order for the county to survive, and that we have to save those special kind of taxes we could go to for something that we cannot provide in any other way, and something that we have to do, not just something we would like to do.
Yeah, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity in that sense. But some people will argue that having a convention center is a necessity, and I don't think that argument's wrong, but what we're trying to do here is clear up who pays what taxes, and these taxes are different. The food and beverage tax is different from the innkeeper's tax. So that's what we're trying to accomplish this morning, is to people that might be confused.
And
these
Marty,
terms are not interchangeable. They are different.
When we talk about the county, I mean, I think sometimes people think, well, I live in the city, so I don't pay county taxes.
Oh, and really and truly, that's what I'd really like to get across, especially in our next subject when we're talking about the solid waste budget. That's a county tax. Let me assure you that if you live in the city or if you live in Ellisville or in Steinsville, you're still paying that county tax. We all pay equally a rate that's established for when they set the levy, and then, the amount of taxes, then that will be tied to the total assessed value, which will then set the rate. And that rate then will be set no matter where you live on your property tax.
So Marty, just to really clarify to the listeners, when they hear me worry about various taxing units maybe not using our tax dollars to their benefit, the reason I'm worried about this is because it ends up costing all of us more, because if someone, whoever it is, isn't using our tax dollars in a very responsible way, then that increases our tax amounts that we're paying, or it keeps us from doing other things.
Well, and I wouldn't even want to say responsible way, but just in a way that might not be the direction. Everybody has different priorities. So for me, the priority is to look at the dollars available and make sure that we're using them for the very, for instance, for every dollar of taxes you pay, I want you to receive a dollar's worth of services. And but you had asked me to look up the amount that the Solid Waste District had spent on
various studies to
researching
see
and so forth. And
yes,
you know, I was delighted to watch Tom McGlasson at work. He's the director now out at the Solid Waste District, and I watched the presentation on the budget, and I watched that on Catch yesterday to try to be prepared as I could be for today's program. And he did an excellent job of the budget presentation with slides, and I mean, the camera was nice enough to follow along and make sure we could see the slides because I couldn't find them online. I hope they will put them online. It helped us understand their budget. It also, which something I was impressed with, you could see where he was reducing the expected amount of revenue because he's looking at what their revenue really has been and making sure it was a realistic amount he was counting on for the recyclable revenue. Now, it doesn't mean that I like their budget, but what I do want to say is that if you want to understand their budget, try to look at those slides because it does help. But here's what he sent to me was the, he says, to the best of his knowledge, here we go, we're going back all the way back to 2009.
I believe it.
Yeah, and they paid to get a feasibility for something called, I believe that one was what we called the Dirty Murph, and that one he's saying was $15,000. And then in 2010, there was another group that put one together, and he has that down as $20,200. See, the first one is to say, yes, go ahead and have this next study. Okay, now the next study is where it really costs you. So that one was $20,200. And then in 2013, the same group, Strategic Development Group, did another one where they did projected revenues from a previous study to see what the market returns would be. And that was $500. And then the current contract right now is with Kessler Consulting to do a waste characterization study and feasibility report for a mixed waste facility. Now, what we understand that mixed waste to be will be what we used to call a dirty recycling facility. In other words, it'll all come in together and somebody will have to figure out how to get it all
sorted
out between the garbage and the recyclables. And that amount is not to exceed $84,000. Now, I understand that they don't have the final analysis back from that. They hope to get it before the end of the year. If they don't have it by the end of the year, they'll have it at the beginning of next year so that they can continue to hang on to this $84,000 in the form of they could, because they have the contract, they could just hang on to it to pay that bill for next year. So when we are looking at the budget for next year, it really doesn't include a whole lot having to do with this mixed waste facility, but it does include some. There's like $100,000 in there for professional services so that if they would decide to move forward with this recycling facility, they could go ahead and do such things as move forward trying to figure out which ground to buy and different engineering and so forth. But there's also information having to do with a reduced budget where their three positions in management will be removed and completely, those positions, job descriptions will be gone and there'll be two new positions rather than the three that will be gone, and those job descriptions will change, and I am told that those two, that replacement jobs will be for a lesser salary amount. And so you know how long I've talked about the questioning, do you need a human resource director on staff for the small amount of employees that they have? And evidently, that is something that others are agreeing with and saying, and making this presentation saying, we're maybe paying too high a price for a salary for something that we could get information if needed from the attorney that they have a contract with, or perhaps from the city or from the county. So while I hate to see anyone not still have their job that they counted on, I believe that this is, once again, this is a public service, and we're charging taxpayers' dollars. So kudos to the three people on the executive committee who put this together, and I hope it's well received. And we'll see what happens with that. They will be having another meeting to discuss that at 3:30 Thursday in room 100B in the showers building. So I hope that is televised so we can all follow along.
Well, if not, we'll just tune in with you next Wednesday and get updated on this, because you're helping us out greatly on this. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, and I
thank
I
you for doing
that,
the
and
research,
I
Marty.
I tell you, I hear all the time. Also, picnic that we all went to. I had people coming up to me, people, some of which I had not met before, saying that, oh, they really loved hearing what was going on. So thank you for allowing me to do this.
Well, we appreciate it. And sometimes we don't have column widths and everything else. We have time to expand and get into some of these details, I think, that people need to know about, and explanations that maybe we don't get anywhere else. And we always think.
Right. And the Redevelopment Commission is meeting this evening. They'll be going over a lot of numbers, and that's an important thing, because that is local taxes. It may not be a part of that frozen pot of money, but it is local taxes.